All right, we've got an article for you from a secular magazine, American Magazine. It has a faith section. O'Connell, June 10th, 2019. The Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education has issued a document on the question of gender theory, which, while containing no new doctrinal elements or developments, seeks to present the Catholic's position on the question in a non-polemic manner and expresses the need to dialogue on the subject. The text is signed by the prefect and secretary of the congregation, respectfully Cardinal so-and-so, Archbishop so-and-so, but now it is said that Pope Francis has seen or approved, but nowhere is it said that Pope Francis has seen or approved the documents. This would suggest the text is meant to serve as a basis for dialogue and discussion for those involved in the field of education and is not meant to be seen as the final answer on this controversial subject. What's the controversial subject, Brian?
Well, they're talking about gender theories, trying to figure out what's going on with this male and female discussion that's in our culture. He actually goes on, Cardinal Versaldi releases to the press his presentation on male and female, and his explanation is that bishops have been attentive to the question of gender over the past decade. So the Catholic Church is exploring what's going on with this I identify as, or the possibility of there being more than two genders. And during this congregation's plenary assembly in February of 2017, the ideology of gender emerged as an emergency issue in the educational sector. So the assembly decided that the congregation should write a document to help those working in the field of Catholic education. Cardinal Versaldi said the various Vatican dicasteries provided input, but he did not say if the members were on board of the board of the congregation, that is, the bishops and the cardinals from around the world, were consulted.
All right, so the giant controversy right now is, do we have males and females?
Only, or are there more than that?
And is your gender determined from birth, or can you self-identify? Can you imagine telling Martin Luther 500 years ago that the church was going to be actively engaged in determining whether gender was in fact...
A 31-page document, in fact.
Yeah, and the good news is they determined that the Word of God was accurate and that there are only male and female. And that's why it's got a lot of the LGBTQ and RSVP and all that.
ASAP.
You know, riled up. But what I thought was interesting and also worth discussion is it's almost like they're coming late to the game, because this is almost like their Nashville statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, look, it was crafted in 2017. It was just released last week. And some of the Pride movement people say it's released because, you know, this is... It's supposedly Pride Month, and so it was timed to come out with that.
If you look at every corporation across our nation right now, it sure does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they've all declared it, but, you know, the problem is they can't declare it for me, so.
Yeah. So it says the 31-page document, which is being sent to the presidents of all bishops' conferences, bears the title, Male and Female, He Created Them. It was released by the Vatican Press Office on June 10th and is subtitled, Towards a Path of Dialogue on the Question of Gender Theory in Education.
The text explains that gender theory expresses an ideology that denies the differences in reciprocity in nature of man and woman and envisages a society... I wonder why it's not envisions. A society without sexual differences, thereby eliminating the anthropological basis of the family. And that's really the central issue that we should just maybe stop and talk about, is the degree to which, if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you need to understand that this is right out of the pit of hell. That this is an assault on Genesis 1, an assault on Genesis 2. Leave father, leave mother, cleave to each other, start your own family unit. This is an assault on family being defined as one man and one woman. This is a frontal assault. This is an all-out attack on the building block of society.
Well, and it seems like, when we know that this is the case for everything that God has created, Satan not only wants to destroy, but also wants to create some sort of alternate reality. We see that there is an Antichrist coming, that there are already many Antichrists. Rather than worshiping the one true God, he proclaims himself to be God and wants to be worshipped as God. We see that he's tearing down God, created them male and female. So what is Satan doing? He's destroying to that basis of which they've been created, male and female. God created the family unit so they could be fruitful and multiply. And now he's convincing the world around us to not be fruitful, not multiply, that you can be in a homosexual union if that's what you want to do, or don't even be in any union at all. And just takes everything that God created for good, for his glory, to fill and care for the earth, and Satan's just trying to destroy it all.
It says, this ideology leads to educational programs and legislative enactments that promote a personal identity and emotional intimacy radically separated from the biological differences between male and female, with the consequences that human identity becomes the choice of the individual, one which can also change over time, as Francis, Pope Francis, explains in his apostolic, help me out somebody, apostolic exhortation on the family. While recognizing this ideology contrasts with the Christian vision of anthropology, the document says that if we wish to take an approach on the question of gender theory that is based on the path of dialogue, it is vital to bear in mind the distinction between the ideology of the gender on one hand and the whole field of research on gender that the human sciences have undertaken on the other.
So basically what he's saying is we're at a decision point. We either believe the scientists and the people in the society that are telling us that it's fluid, or we believe God's word. I mean, that's basically what now the Catholic Church is wrestling with and seems to have come to some conclusion, at least some of these folks, you know, in giving out publicly their findings.
Yeah. Jonathan, do you, in that paragraph we saw that leads to educational programs, do you get the vibe that most of this discussion that's going on behind this article is directed towards, is it more Catholic universities? Or when we say educational programs, we're talking about church programs on what this local parish is doing with its membership?
No, this is, okay, so the one statistic I heard was the Catholic Church is in charge of the largest organization of educational institutions in the world. The Catholic Church is also in charge of arguably some of the largest medical institutions in the world. So the reach, and the reason it was interesting to me and the reason I brought this article to us is, you know, regardless of what we think about the Catholic Church, we all know where we stand on that. The issue is that this very influential body has come out with a statement that would align with where we are, which is God's word is God's word, and we need to stay to that. And they're getting a lot of pushback from society. But now, and yes, to answer your question, this particular article we're looking at, they're looking at the educational part of it, because the original document was geared to sending out to the institutions, you know, both like the Catholic high schools and universities, saying, this is our position, you stand on it. But what you'll also sense from this article, in one sense, is the fact that a lot of people who loved the Pope up to this point are now trying to say, well, it can't be his idea because we love him and he can't possibly think that way about, you know, the LGBT.
They should start their own church. I mean, the King of England did it.
So that's where they are. They're now between a rock and a hard place, because he hasn't come out in great support, but he hasn't come out in opposition to it. And so, you know, it's like one of those things. I mean, this Pope is kind of like the Barack Obama before to the press. You know, they loved him for all his, you know, things about how he's going to deal with the Catholic Church and the poor and all this. But now they're in a position where now they've got to pick between their, you know, their icon they love right now and possibly this position.
Mm-hmm.
The document recalls that Pope Francis indicated that while the ideologies of gender respond to what are at times understandable aspirations, they also seek to assert themselves as absolute and unquestionable, even dictating how children should be raised, so precluding dialogue. On other work on gender has been carried out, which tries instead to achieve a deeper understanding of the ways in which sexual differences between men and women is lived out in a variety of cultures. The statement points out it is in relation to this type of research that we should be open to listen, to reason, and to propose.
The document provides a brief overview of the cultural events of the 20th century, which brought the new anthropological theories, and with them the beginnings of gender theory. It says these theories were based on a reading of sexual differentiation that was strictly sociological, relying on a strong emphasis on the freedom of the individual. And in mid-century, studies were published which accentuated time and again the role of external conditioning, including its influence on determining personality. This led to the problem of the separation of sex from gender, seen as dependent upon subjective mindset of each person who can choose a gender not corresponding to his or her biological sex. When such studies were applied to human sexuality, they often did so with a view to demonstrating that sexuality identity was more a social construct than a given natural or biological fact. That concept blows my mind, because even in several different categories of life, if you have any interaction with electrical connectors, you have male connectors and you have female connectors. All right, and it's a very obvious reason, if you understand human anatomy, why they call one has a piece that plugs inside the other. All right, you go and you look at the plant world. All right, you have male and female, or different parts of plants to reproduce so that plant will grow another plant. You have fertilization that has to happen. In the animal world, since when do we have animals saying, well, you can't call me a buck? Just because you think I have, antlers on my head doesn't mean you get to call me a buck. We don't see that, but yet at the same time, our modern society would say that we're nothing more than animals. And it just blows my mind that on one side of, the talking points, they want to say that society has deemed that I am male or I am female. That's not actually what I am. Don't confuse my gender with a biological fact, whereas everything else around us would be obvious that, no, there's actually a connection between your biology and your gender.
Well, there's a deeper root of the problem here. Number one is, you can't tell me what to do. And if you did tell me what to do, you're being hateful, you're being mean, you don't love me. And somewhere in the 70s, we got people to start looking in the mirrors and saying in the mirrors, you're a good person, and you should love yourself. And we started doing that Spockisms and all that junk that came along, to the point now we have an entire society that, even if they disagree with the homosexual movement, if they disagree with the whole, you string all the letters together, if they disagree with it, they won't speak against it, because to do so is to be hateful, to be hatred. I'm sitting there. Okay, my nephew comes to my house this week, and I won't go into, for the sake of the podcast, so my family may listen, I'm not going to go into everything that transpired. But this did. My wife asked him a question, and they were having a discussion on vaccination, which is not the topic of our conversation, but it fits. He looks at her and goes, she asks, well, what's your opinion? And he goes, well, that really depends on kind of the position of the house, because I wouldn't want to offend. And I was standing by the door waiting for pizza to be delivered. So I quietly walked into the kitchen. I said, hey, buddy, let me give you a tip for life. Something that your society's not teaching you today. It's okay to disagree with people, and it doesn't mean that you're being hateful to them. And it doesn't mean that you're right or wrong. In any essence, you may be or you may not be. But the fact of the matter is it's okay to take a stand. So what you need to do right now is stick out your right thumb, put it behind your back, feel those bumps. That's called a spine. You're allowed to use it. And
how old is he?
He's one in ninth grade. He's indicative of where we're at. And he goes, "Wow, I thought you were a Christian." I was like, "I am." And he's like, "Well, I wasn't taught to be that way at my church."
Mm.
To his pastor son would say, "Find a new church."
but you get the idea of where we're at.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we actually have two articles here, and this article that we're reading, we made a choice to read this one. This article that we're reading goes out of its way to use words like "they said," "the text says," "this document says," because the author of this article is trying to make sure that you don't think that what he's putting into this article is
endorsement.
An endorsement. Something he actually believes. This Gerald O'Connell doesn't want you to come away from this article thinking that he agrees with this, and he puts a little few sideways statements in here to make sure that you understand he probably doesn't agree with this. And then the other article that we have is the New York Times article that I brought along as backfill.
Okay.
And that is, their language shows exactly what they feel about what Rome says. In their opening statement, it says, "Rome, the Vatican on Monday flatly rejected what it casts as the notion that individuals can choose their gender." So, my point is, you know, we talk about media bias all the time. The way you say things show exactly what you think.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something like, that's ridiculous, that you tell people what you think about something, and by, you know, the New York Times going on to say, "Releasing in its first extensive document on the issue, as Western countries are increasingly wrestling with the social and legal implications of more fluid definitions of identity, the document issued by the Vatican Department overseeing Catholic education echoed past statements by Pope Francis. It argued that acceptance of flexible ideas of gender posed a threat to traditional families and ignored the natural differences between men and women." So that's the New York Times take
perspective
on what, you know, is in the document. And then this is the little softer guy's take on it. But what kind of, you know, caught my ear, because I heard this originally on the radio, and I heard two back-to-back reports. This one came out, and then they reported on the National Convention of the Southern Baptists. And they played a quote from Al Mohler on the radio, and Al Mohler said, the church, because they were talking in that report about the idea of women pastors. And that, you know, right now the Southern Baptists, the main thing, the number one thing on their agenda at their meeting is this idea of sexual abuse in the church, covering it up. We talked about that a little while ago with the database and all that. But it also brought into light, you know, people, a certain segment of the Southern Baptists that want to have women pastors. And and Al Mohler's quote was that the churches that people are leaving are the ones that are caving on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I just thought it was interesting that right before that they talked about the Catholic Church. And I think, you know, also the Catholic Church is at that point,
sure,
you know, that the Southern Baptists and other, you know, evangelical churches, obviously we're not aligned in other areas of theology. But the reality is people want the Word of God to be the Word of God. Deep down inside, they know that.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would add to that, John, is the fact that in the Catholic Church, there's typically a giant disconnect between what the official position is and what the parishioners themselves.
Right.
And we see this on multiple levels. Like, is there really an entity that's stronger on the sanctity of life globally than the Catholic Church? Can you guys think of any entity that takes a stronger position on... And yet, think about our vice president candidate Biden, who just recently caved all over again on the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment was the prohibition that no government funding could go towards Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden took a whole other side because of the pushback from his own. Now, he considers himself a Catholic. I mean,
right,
he's not this Easter and Christmas Catholic. This is a man who goes to Mass on a regular... He self-identifies as a traditional Catholic and every, but he's divorced from the Catholic position, and that's a candidate for the presidency, and so this is another example where it doesn't matter, John, how official the statement the Catholic Church is taking. How many Catholics even know that this document came out?
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering is, Could we not think about it this way? Catholic Church, Evangelical Church, God's Church, God's theology, whatever. The fact that we're wrestling and we're being challenged with these is going to, in some way, bring the cream of the crop to the top. And we're going to see who is really a believer and who's not. And maybe through this process, one good byproduct of all this is that we're going to see those who are really converted, these issues are going to, it's going to be the line in the sand. And now, you know, I'm going to have to pick a side. Whereas before I could kind of just be, no, I can't pick a side. I can just float. But, you know, I'm just wondering in the next 100 years, if these type of forces maintain in place, if some of the other you know, traditionally Catholic ridiculous things fall away and we see more of a, you know, a Catholic Church that looks more theologically aligned with the evangelicals because of this, let's call it persecution, that is going to make people have to pick a side.
I also wonder to what degree, because this is the Catholic Church, and I've been in Catholic Church, just never for a service, but just visiting or weddings or whatever. They have these booths where you go in and confess your sins to a priest. The whole premise of that is that you did something wrong. So there must be right and there must be wrong, at least within the Catholic Church's mindset. So I wonder if they're actually making the connection that if they don't continue to draw a line somewhere and say something is right and something is wrong, are they putting themselves out of a job?
Yeah, that might be true.
Because if everything is right and nothing is wrong and nothing will send you to hell, then why do you need a vicar of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need the church at all outside of the social aspect of, you know, hey, I need a few contacts for a good plumber in town. I need to know an electrician. And, or, hey, I would assume that most of the individuals who enjoy the Catholic Church Mass are because 15 minutes in a box, confessing my sins to the priest, I'm good to go for another week. Because I don't want to be accountable for my wrong, as opposed to there is no wrong.
So where are we going with the article? Does the New York Times article have more opinion?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
Let's see.
So all this led to the problem of the separation of sex from gender, according to the document, which added the concept of gender is seen as dependent upon the subjective mindset of each person. It's on page 3.
Okay.
The concept of gender is seen as dependent upon the subjective mindset of each person, who can choose a gender not corresponding to his or her biological sex, and therefore with the way others see that person, or transgenderism. The propositions of gender theory converge in the concept of queer, which refers to the dimensions of sexuality that are extremely fluid, flexible, and, as it were, nomadic. This culminates in an assertion of the complete emancipation of the individual from any a priori given sexual definition, and the disappearance of classification seen as overly rigid.
All right, nobody's understanding this. I mean, this is...
Well, how indicative of the Roman Catholic Church, though? Their official position, I mean, with even what we know of the Roman Catholic Church throughout history, I mean, only the higher-up church leadership knew the language of Scripture, and that was their objective to keep the commoners blind.
I think that, you know, potentially because of the way it's written in the article, it and we're jumping in, it's a little confusing. But my main point is, I think that the people who wrote the document were thinking clearly about the fact that this flies in the face of God, and they you know, this is a large 31-page document. He's just ripping things out of context. Mm-hmm. But what I was really impressed with is about the only equivalent I could think of when I heard the language of the document
is the Nashville Statement. I agree with you on that prologue. For those of you listening, if you don't know what the Nashville Statement is, Google it and take some time reading it. It's excellent. My thought, though, to you is that I think it's indicative of a Vatican that doesn't care whether the commoners understand it or not, John. In other words, it's not written in such... This is the cardinals preaching to the bishops. This is the bishops
preaching... Right, and it's supposed to trickle down.
Right. But it's not... What typical member of a Catholic church...
It's not meant for them. It's meant for the education.
Right, exactly. It's not meant for the commoners because, quite frankly, the commoners don't have a vote. And I don't know that they even care if they get it right.
And that was the interesting thing, because when they put the mic in front of somebody who was just a regular Catholic person, essentially what they said was, well, that could be the position of the Catholic Church, but I don't really care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Exactly. But what we suggest, which makes us radically different, is that you can't be part of our congregation and have a different perspective. The idea that gender is diverse, divorced from biological sex is abhorrent to us. It's as unbiblical as it gets. It is, I mean, it denies the very essence of Genesis.
But you know, you're reading through this, and you're starting to get the idea and thing, the thought process is that, you know, if it was just these two guys, this bishop and this cardinal, they're like, wait a minute, we want you guys who are teaching out there to stop and think about all the things that are corollary to this idea that we can have this gender fluidity. He goes, they've now taken the word queer. And we've heard it said, that's a little queer, you know, that's a lot queer. And they kind of embrace that. Not the Catholic Church, the movement. And said, see, even in queer, there's this spectrum. So we can have this spectrum of genderism. This spectrum of back and forth, fluid and flexible. The text goes on and says, the duality in male-female couples is furthermore seen as conflicting with the idea of polyamory, the relationship involving more than two individuals. Here's the reason why we have to have a spectrum. It's so that you can be with a girl one night, and you can be with a guy the next night, or you can be with both of them the night after that. And it's all okay, because everybody's a little queer. They just don't recognize it yet.
Yeah, and somewhere in the article, and you know,
I mean, you start coming through the wording. That's what's being said here.
And somewhere in the article, it suggests they're horrified that the Catholic Church also said it's probably best that someone grows up in a house where there's a mom and a dad.
The text explains that the church clearly has problems with the vision of sexuality, identity, and relationship. I'm on the top of page 4, but it also notes points on which the Vatican and gender theorists find agreement and sources for dialogue, like laudable desire to combat all expressions of unjust discrimination, and that forms of unjust discrimination have been a sad fact of history and have had an influence within the church. This has brought about a sacred status quo, delaying the necessary and progressive inculcation of the truth of Jesus' proclamation of equal dignity of men and women, and has provoked accusations of sort of masculinist mentality veiled to a greater or lesser degree by religious motives, the text acknowledges. Another important point of agreement is the need to educate children, young people, to respect every person in their particularity and difference so that no one should suffer bullying, violence, insults, unjust discrimination based on their specific characteristics such as special needs, race, religion, sexual tendencies, etc. The document then goes on to outline the Christian anthropology, which it says has its roots in the narrative of human origins that appear in the book of Genesis, where we read that God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. It says these words capture not only the essence of the story of creation, but also that of life-giving relationship between men and women, which brings them into unity with God. The congregation's document argues that there is a need to reaffirm the metaphysical roots of sexual difference as an anthropological refutation of attempts to negate the male-female duality of human nature from which family is generated.
Or translated, rebellion to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is there are huge differences between the Catholic Church's approach to this and our approach to this. You know, there's a lot of emphasis, and this could be this guy's lens, because he's doing his best to try to embrace this but not embrace this. You know, finding common ground and let's not bully people and try to make it sound like it's not what it really is, which is like a pretty strict, harsh statement that the Catholic Church is making. But like they're focused on, well, for family harmony, it's best if you do it God's way. No, that's not what the book of Romans says. You know, if you don't want to be damned, you do it God's way, is our position. You know, if you don't want to be worshiping yourself and idols rather than the Creator, you do it God's way.
Well, you have a 31-page text, and how many times is Scripture quoted? I mean, even look at the way Genesis was just... It has its roots in the narrative of human origins that appears in the book of Genesis.
It is the basis. It doesn't have its roots.
Right, exactly. Where we read that God created man in his own image, male and female. Interestingly enough, I'm going to preach about this down at Camp Anchorage. I'm going to do Sunday night, the evening service, Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Probably some of the three most important chapters in the entire Bible. And I'll dedicate an entire night just on he created them male and female because of the fact that young people, you survey young people, and they have abandoned biological sex as a clear distinction in our society. It is whatever gender you choose. And they're your ninth grader, Jack, who couldn't imagine having an opinion
about vaccinations or anything. Or this. Or
just, you just can't even have an opinion because... That's potentially offensive to someone. So
you can have it, but you can't express it.
Right. And the Christian perspective is that you don't express it, that you keep it as quiet as you can and allow,
your lifestyle to win them.
And I think that one of the things we'd be very naive to believe that even Baptist churches aren't filled with children that are confused about this.
Of course.
And then on the other side, we need to have our eyes open that there are probably... Catholic people in the Catholic Church that are just as concerned with the rabbit hole we're going down, getting away from God's Word, as we Baptists are. And, just like when it comes to some of the other issues, it would do us well to make sure that we recognize the fact that we have other folks who are in this fight with us, and they're not lined up with us in any way, shape, or form on a lot of points. But, just like the same thing when it comes to abortion, we can't make enemies all around and then expect to fight the fight alone. And we have to decide how much that's going to be. But I'm always encouraged when I find someone who is saying, hey, no, it's the Word of God we got to stand on and not something else.
I just wish they would express it a little bit clearer, but they can't. Instead, they issue a 31-page document because the Word of God doesn't have the strength that it has in others.
Yeah, and they're in a very precarious position right now because the Pope is so beloved for being kind of wishy-washy, and so now he can't come out and...
He's not endorsing this document.
So it is really being... the weight of this document is being put on those two individuals who supposedly crafted it. So that if they go down in flames, they distance themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something, one of the last paragraphs on page 4 says that the drawing on the teaching of Benedict the 16th and Francis, it says the denial of this duality not only erases the vision of human beings as the fruit of an act of creation, but creates an idea of the human person as a sort of abstraction who chooses for himself what his nature is to be. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to the point where that's where it is what is it that you want? Mm-hmm.
I want to be a female.
About this, and I can't help but every time I see stuff like this, and just last Wednesday preaching through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, talking to my teenagers about this, we see even in our church we see the self-love movement where it's you have to take care of yourself first. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, but understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self. Mm. They'll love money, they'll be proud, they'll be arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. And that was 2,000 years ago. He said, hey, watch out. People are going to start being completely consumed with themselves. Well, and you'll know it, that's when you know it's going to be getting worse.
I just saw a trailer for one of these animated cartoons, you know, that's supposed to be loved by children and all of this. It's called Abominable, just so you know. In the trailer, you know, while the trailer stuff was going on, underneath it playing was a song that over and over just said, you can go your own way, you can go your... And, you know, obviously, you know, for a Christian, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. I mean, it was just so sad that just like, kind of like this Pride Month, they're taking pride in this rebellion against God, and it's just... It's really, really sobering when you see that, because that is marketed to children mostly. And, you know, we talked about this directive is to the educational system in the Catholic Church. And we talked just in some meetings about before about how we're going to educate our children, and it's the father's responsibility to educate in the household that responsibility.
And it's in your face everywhere. I follow a few runners through social media, and when I'm posting a picture of their run, and they're running on a boardwalk in L.A., and all you see on the flagpoles, I mean, there's no way they could have gotten out of having this in their picture. On the flagpole is flag after flag after flag after flag.
Rainbow?
Of the rainbow.
Well, like every major corporation has changed their logo to be reflective of the gay pride flag.
Yeah, Apple issued out new
I've seen T-Mobile. There were a couple other companies that...
Yeah. Instagram did it for their logo. Facebook did it for their logo.
My pizza.
Yeah.
Even the Spartan Race did it. It's just...
The Spartan Race did it?
Yep. It is absolutely everywhere. You don't want to be on the wrong side of history. I mean, and then you got these guys out there, you know, social media. Like, I wrote it down because this is the kind of things that now people jump up with and that even kind of combat and try to make a joke of all of this. It's like this one guy's has a thing, and he goes, "Oh, the girl you like identifies as a guy? That's okay. It's 2019. You can identify as a girl. Modern problems require modern solutions." You know, it's just...
It's ridiculous.
It's always...
You know what it reminds you of is the fact that, you know, God promised not to destroy the world again with the flood, with the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And here they've taken God's symbol and just, you know, desecrated it. I'll keep it clean. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you just wonder, you know, about the wrath of God. He's just holding it back. And what the immense mercy of God just to hold back that wrath. Because, I mean, just think of how that makes...
Or think about, in that context, Jonathan, on his forms of judgment. Full knowing how he was going to end the age with fire, he destroyed it the first time with water rather than with fire. He could have destroyed it with fire both times.
And we're told
in our mentality, you know, there's not much worse than fire torment. Because, you know, we use that the symbol of fire as a warning, you know, on labels and things like that. Our culture is fully aware of that, and yet that's what the world is headed for. Hmm. Brian, is this an issue in a Baptist youth group?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yes.
Because it stems from the lack of wanting, you know, as Jackie was kind of saying with the story of his nephew, it's the lack of wanting to take a stand. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be offensive. It's going to cost something if I stand on that, so I won't stand on that. And I think it has to do with, and I think with our youth group, I think it's going to be it depends on who's asking the question. Because
I don't know if it really depends on who's asking the
question. Well, and I think it does.
Because I did a survey with the junior class, and I had a 75% rate of they would not take a stand. And 75% said it's okay.
Is it an anonymous survey?
No, they put their names to them.
Really?
Yes.
How many of them would be in our church out of the...
All 75%.
Wow.
I can.
You're not doing your job.
I can name employees' children who said it's okay.
Well, and that was one of the students I was thinking of through the you know, the grapevine, it got back to me that they were talking to another student about homosexual tendencies or same-sex attraction. And the student who had said to this other person that it was okay if they wanted to be like that or whatever, I know I've had conversations with, and they would never have said that to my face. Mm-hmm. So my thought would be, there probably is a large portion that would say, if a pastor or an authority figure that they knew had a hard stand on this position, they'd answer one way. If it was a friend or if it was in a Snapchat conversation, then they would answer with how they really feel, which is, you do whatever you want to do. Who am I to tell you different?
Yep.
Or you go do you, you know, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be.
I mean, they were writing things like, I don't agree with it, but it's really not my place to say something.
And that's the norm today. I mean, you can't even get the Pope to sign off on this statement, so why are we surprised that juniors in high school aren't willing to do it?
And I know you were joking about him not doing his job and doing that, but we think that it's also the parents.
No way.
What?
The parents' job. The dad's job.
You're going to take it back.
Why in the world did they pay the tithe? They paid the tithe to hire the contractor to teach their children a biblical worldview.
Because it's hard to do it, so I don't want to do it. Like that?
Like that. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you're teaching your children that God created them in the beginning, male and female, and I hope you're reinforcing that truth. If not, you're not doing your job. I was joking about the youth pastor, but I'm not joking about you not doing your job if you're not teaching the biblical truth. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.